In this town, there's no off-season. The news never stops, and neither do we. It's always game day in Cleveland with Andy Baskin and Daryl Ryder.
But obviously, what happened Monday with those latest allegations and that lawsuit being filed, the NFL announcing that they're launching an investigation into those allegations, which means that they're not covered under the original disciplinary settlement that cost Deshaun 11 games. And
do you think, just not to stop you there quickly, do you think the NFLPA is going to come back and say, what are you guys doing? Well, this is already covered.
No, because the allegations are the most severe that have been made against Watson. These go above and beyond the previous 24, 25, 26 lawsuits that he faced. And, he settled 23 or 24 of those. I think there's one or two of them still kind of pending in civil court and working their way through. But the allegations presented of this particular sexual assault, the most severe allegations. And so it does not appear that he's covered here by double jeopardy, because that was part of the settlement, was that, hey, if, a couple more of these allegations pop up of, misconduct during massage therapy sessions, that you can't come back and suspend me and punish me further. But to explain the differences for people, because the question you ask, Andy, is pretty much the common question everyone has. Why isn't this covered under the original settlement? Number one, as I stated, the allegations are the most severe sexual assault allegations that have been made against him. So it's another level. So there's that aspect of it. Also, the previous discipline was the result of professional misconduct. Remember, these were massage therapy appointments, or supposed to be massage therapy appointments. And he was, seeking some, extra sexual related benefits related to those that resulted in those lawsuits and that misconduct allegations, the misconduct allegations. Whereas this was a social endeavor. This was supposed to be a private dinner date at her residence and whatnot before this alleged assault took place. So that's what distinguishes this, Andy, as to why I don't think the double jeopardy is going to apply here. And yes, Watson will be subject to more discipline. I just don't think this process is going to play out by the end of the season. I think that whatever plays out, not only in civil court with this particular case, but when it comes to the league investigation, the league discipline, I think that it'll affect 2025, not 2024. I have to say, if in fact the league finds that they feel Watson violated the personal conduct policy, I needed to put that in there. Sorry, Andy.
Sure. No. Here's my point. Fans want to know, is Deshaun Watson going to be playing for the Browns this year?
Yes.
I think that's what fans are asking. I think the answer is yes. I think you're right. I don't think the league – look, even if you wanted swift justice in this, I don't know if the NFL is all about swift justice on this. Let's face it. You saw what the rates for quarterbacks became after the Browns signed this deal with Deshaun. So I don't think the rest of the league is in a big hurry to let the Browns get a little bit of relief and maybe let Deshaun go if they feel like they've had enough.
Yeah, aside from what Kevin Stefanski said on Wednesday, Andy, about he's going to play Sunday in Jacksonville, as far as the questions about the distraction, because let's be honest about it, this is a massive distraction, okay? Because it's 2022 all over again from the standpoint of these questions are now being asked, not only of Watson, but Stefanski. We asked Denzel Ward about it. We asked Jerry Jeudy in the locker room about it. And some of the other reporters from other outlets that, because I had to go in back to the media room to listen to Deshaun. I needed to be there for that on Wednesday. So some other reporters stayed back in the locker room or had help with their outlets to stay back in the locker room and talk to all the guys. I mean, it is something that has to be asked, the distraction factor. I'll tell you, the locker room didn't seem the least bit distracted by it. They certainly didn't seem the least bit hung over from the week one loss to the Cowboys. It was very loud, very boisterous, very energetic locker room during the portion that was open to reporters. But there is the distraction factor. There is the factor, again, of the adjudication in civil court. What does that look like, and how does that get resolved? And then also, too, you know, how does the league investigation end up? And then, you know, is he, you know, subject to punishment? Do they find that he violated the personal conduct policy, or do they find that, you know, this particular allegation and the evidence that they were able to collect regarding it and whatnot does not rise to the level of a violation? So if he is suspended again, then I think we can have the conversation about what the Browns do from like the big picture of the contract, getting out of it and things like that. I just think that right now it's entirely too premature, because if we have that conversation, then we're presuming he's guilty. And that's obviously not fair to Deshaun. And it's not fair to not only the civil legal process that has to play out, but it's also not fair to the investigation that the league is now undertaking.
You know, and I agree with everything you just said, 100%, but that also there's no, I mean, it's drama. It doesn't matter. I mean, like you said, it's a distraction to the team, whether he's guilty or not guilty, this isn't criminal. So negligent or not negligent, I think, is that probably the right way to put it? I don't know. I'm looking for the,
it's liable. You know, that he's found to be liable for damages, because that's okay. What it is, you're seeking damages.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure we use the right words there. But, you know, every little thing becomes a big thing. Everyone's talking about the part where Joel Bitonio was down and Deshaun went to go help him. There's a picture, and it looks like Joel's trying to wave him off. And then Joe Thomas says that offensive linemen are like turtles. They've got to turn around and get up the other way. I don't know. Is that him defending Joel? Is that him defending Deshaun? Is that the moment? Or what fans look at it and say, well, look at that. Your offensive lineman doesn't like your quarterback because he won't take help from him. And, you know, no matter what's truthful, when you've got drama on the outside, everyone is scrutinizing every little thing.
Yeah, no question about it. And in that particular situation, if you watch and really pay attention when the linemen get up, they like two people helping them up, one person on each arm. They don't like being pulled up just from one arm. It's a balance and safety and preventing injury type of thing. They typically, if they are helped up, it's one person on each arm helping them up. Otherwise, it's, as Joe Thomas posted on social media, the players like to roll over, get on their knees, and then work their way up from there. So, but you're right. Every little interaction, right? Amari Cooper scowling on the sideline in Deshaun's direction, right?
There was even a question on Monday about the way Deshaun warmed up for the game. Oh, that he wasn't even on the field for most of the game, and that Jameis was taking most of the snaps with the ones, and then Deshaun stopped in for like 15 snaps and then went back to like taking pictures and doing stuff with, and that's fine if that's the way you get warmed up and that's what they need to do. But you kind of wonder, okay, here's a guy we're talking about not getting enough snaps, didn't play in the preseasons, got the opportunity to be with the ones on the field, you know, like an hour or hour and a half before the game, and yet isn't taking. And now, you know, again, if the Browns go out and win, no one's talking about that story. No one's talking about how Deshaun warmed up. And now everyone is watching everything under a microscope.
Yeah, and there's another, you know, piece to this too. You know, as you were talking there, and I just lost it. I have the COVID brain fog. But yeah, no, you're right. Every little thing is under the microscope. Every little thing that Deshaun does or does not do is under the microscope. I asked him a couple of suit related questions, because for as much as the Browns really wanted to make his availability strictly about football, just we couldn't do that. Like, I mean, it's journalistic malpractice not to ask. Now, he chooses how he can't, you know, answers the questions. Certainly we respect, because of the legal process, there are things he cannot answer. The one thing that, you know, he did say was that, this was new to him, these allegations. Now, the plaintiff's lawyer fired back on Instagram in a statement, said, well, we've been trying to work with Deshaun's people for about 10 months now on a settlement. And this is something that, or this particular incident, Deshaun should remember. there was some condescending tone.
Right. Yeah. Like you're trying to figure out, well wait a second. This is they.
No, he's the overall thing of like, he's had so many of these, we understand if he might forget, but the allegations here are such that he should remember who this young lady, this woman is, and whatnot. But everything's going to be under the microscope. His play is under the microscope.
On top of everything that happened off the field and all those things that are going on, the controversy and the, right. And just everything like on the field was not good the other day. And, we talked about him warming up. So, pick up where you left off. We talk about, what we saw on the field and how much of that is because Dallas is good. And I think a lot of people are discrediting Dallas a little bit because I hope that we go back and look at the season and we're sitting here in week five and we go back, Dallas was damn good. No wonder we got our butts kicked in that game. So that's the hope. But I'm just worried that that's not the case. And the fact that you're playing without your regular two left tackles and the one guy that played last year didn't look so good.
Yeah, I mean, there were two questions that I asked Watson that were football related that I felt were important for him to address. One was the distraction factor and being his ability to focus, because not only is he dealing with this latest litigation, but his father passed away on Friday. We learned that after the game. Former teammate and friend passed away on Saturday. So he played with a heavy heart on Sunday too. And again, we don't know if he knew that these allegations were coming down or not. Again, he said no, but we don't know, right? So it's understandable he's got a lot on his mind, and it's understandable to ask, is he going to be able to focus and regroup and mentally deal with all of that, all the external stuff, while at the same time focusing on football and trying to help the Browns win games, because he did not look good. And that led to my second question from him. And that was the fact that he got hit 17 times by the Dallas Cowboys, 6 times sacked. And those are plays. I mean, he used to be a quarterback, Andy, that loved it when teams brought the house and they brought the heat and the pressure and tried to get after him, because he would just make them pay and look really, really stupid, either with his feet or with his arm. We didn't see that on Sunday. We saw a lot of hesitation. We saw a lot of apprehension from him, and that led to all of that contact that Dallas's defense was able to make on him at his expense, right? And it doesn't get any easier for him this week with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're a similar team when it comes to trying to, bring the pressure. I mean, Trayvon Walker had 2 sacks and I think 6 or 7 tackles in week one. Josh Hines Allen is a load to deal with up front. I mean, Armstead had a sack last week, and he has, put some good film out there. So this is a tough Jacksonville front, and he's going to be basically dealing with the same thing he dealt with Dallas. Because guess what? If I'm Jacksonville watching that film, and Doug Peterson said this on Wednesday, where he said, well, it kind of looks like the Deshaun's getting to know the new offense, and the new offense is kind of trying to get to know Deshaun. So if I'm Peterson and his and the Jaguars defensive coordinator and that Jaguars front, I'm going after Deshaun because I saw how he reacted against Dallas. Not good, right? And I'm going to try and repeat that. And look, and then if Deshaun magically recaptures that explosiveness and the ad-libbing ability that he has, which we haven't seen a lot of since he's come to the Browns, then so be it. But you can bet, I believe the Jaguars are really going to come after him on Sunday, Andy, and make him beat them with his feet and with his arm and his decision-making downfield, which, again, wasn't that great